From MainePublic.org, I'm Barbara Caritti, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, October 20th, 2016. And on this day, workers at the Maine Military Authority in Limestone expected to get pink slips tomorrow, but they've gotten a temporary reprieve. Governor Paul LePage says Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump's comment last night that he might not accept the results of the election was stupid. And state toxicologists are investigating high levels of lead in drinking and cooking water at an elementary school in Benton. Those stories and more after this.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
I'm Barbara Caritti. For the last month, about 60 workers at the Maine Military Authority in Limestone have been mentally preparing to enter the ranks of the unemployed, while the state attempts to renegotiate a bus refurbishment contract with Massachusetts. Tomorrow was supposed to be the last day on the job for two-thirds of the workforce, but as A.J. Higgins reports, the employees have received a temporary reprieve.
At the Augusta headquarters of the Maine State Employees Association, Executive Director Rod Hiltz had been planning for a Friday trip to Limestone to assist the state workers at the Maine Military Authority after 10-day layoff notices were sent to his union employees.
The state's Department of Labor, the rapid response crew, was headed up there for 1 o'clock. My understanding was that it was 40 out of the 60 people working up there.
But that was before he received an email from MMA officials shortly before noon.
Just a few moments ago, I received an email that stated that there's been an extension to that layoff, and that everybody is to report to work on Monday. So that's good news.
Hilt says he does not want to speculate on what the extension means. Workers at MMA have been refurbishing articulated diesel-electric Silverline buses for the Massachusetts Bay Transit Authority under a $19 million contract in which MMA was the sole bidder. Costs for the project soon soared to well beyond the amount that was originally estimated. Last month, Governor Paul LePage announced that work would halt after the MMA had finished 11 of 32 buses scheduled for retrofitting. State officials have met with the MBTA, which Hilt says is supposed to decide by Wednesday about how it would like to proceed.
Right now, they're intending to reschedule the rapid response meeting for either next Thursday or next Friday because they have to prepare for the layoffs if they happen.
Calls made to MMA Executive Director Hugh Corbett for an update on the status of the state's negotiations with the MBTA were not returned to Maine Public Radio by airtime. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
Meanwhile, Governor LePage says Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump made a big mistake during last night's debate when he suggested that he might not accept the results of the election if he loses. The governor, who endorsed Trump earlier this year, told Portland radio station WGAN that he agrees with the real estate mogul and TV personality that the election is rigged, but said Trump should take his lumps if he loses.
Accepting the results, I think, is just it's a stupid comment. I mean, come on, get over yourself.
LePage said that the American media has aligned against Trump while giving his rival, Hillary Clinton, a free pass. The governor also said he hasn't watched any of the debates, nor did he attend Trump's rally in Bangor last weekend. LePage had introduced the Republican nominee at his three previous rallies in Maine. Meanwhile, at a statewide symposium on civility in politics held by the Maine Council of Churches, former Maine Senator and Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell denounced the incivility of this year's campaigns and called for a return to principled discourse. Mal Leary has more.
With more than 500 congregations across the state, the Maine Council of Churches has made promoting civility in public discourse a priority this year. The council pointed to Governor Paul LePage's inflammatory comments about race and racial profiling earlier this year and his use of profanity in the voicemail message he recently left for Westbrook Representative Drew Gattine as examples of incivility. And then there's the current presidential campaign. For that, the council turned to Senator Mitchell to address the raucous and often inflammatory rhetoric in the race. Mitchell told the group that U.S. history has plenty of examples of negative campaigns with harsh rhetoric, outrageous charges, and threats of violence.
Politics have always been rough and tumble in our country. In the early years, duels were common.
And most, he says, were the result of political disputes. But Mitchell told the group in the 1800s, news traveled slowly. Relatively few actually heard speeches. There were no cable TV news networks carrying dozens of speeches live, filling a constant need for news. And there was no social media like Twitter and Facebook amplifying statements to an even wider audience.
What is happening now is different. The effect is deeper, it's longer lasting, and it is much more negative.
Mitchell says there are many examples this year of the use of vulgar, inflammatory, and sometimes profane language that has damaged the fabric of American political discussion.
When a candidate for president of the United States, addressing a large crowd at an event covered on national television, used the F word to criticize adversaries, a line was crossed.
He says candidates should be able to disagree on issues without trading insults, as he did when serving in the United States Senate. And Mitchell rejected the often heard argument that those using blunt language are just using straight talk that the voters appreciate.
This argument is based on an erroneous belief that being a straight talker somehow justifies or permits or is evidence by the public use of vulgar, inflammatory, and insulting words.
The council's been inviting all candidates for statewide office to sign a civil discourse covenant, an agreement to treat each other with respect, refrain from personal attacks, refuse to make untrue statements, and value honesty, truth, and civility. They have urged Governor LePage to sign this covenant. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And there are fierce and well-funded battles raging over Maine's ballot initiatives. Supporters and opponents of referendum questions on the November ballot have spent more than $2 million so far on television ads. Data released today by the Center for Public Integrity indicate that more than 4,000 ads have aired on four of the proposals to expand background checks on gun purchases, legalize recreational marijuana, boost the minimum wage, and tax wealthy Mainers to help schools. On the initiative to expand background checks alone, $1.3 million has been spent on more than 2,500 ads, the analysis shows. More than 1,000 ads have aired on the school funding proposal, and there have been 681 ads on the marijuana referendum. The figures cover spending through Monday and don't include ads that aired on cable television, radio, or online. And what can happen when you click like on Facebook? Well, the Maine Republican Party is alleging that a Democratic legislative candidate's Facebook like suggests illegal collusion with an out-of-state super PAC. But yesterday, the Maine Commission on Governmental Ethics and Election Practices declined to investigate a progressive group that wants candidate Jonathan Fulford to beat Republican Senate President Michael Thibodeau. The California-based group's Progressive Maine PAC reported plans to spend $50,000 to hire organizers to train volunteers in Fulford's district. The Maine Republican Party sent commissioners a screenshot of a Facebook post about Progressive Maine's hiring plans that Fulford's Facebook account liked. Commissioners called Progressive Maine spending unusual but lawful and said a Facebook like isn't evidence of coordination. Three of five commissioners also said the GOP's allegations didn't support investigating whether Progressive Maine failed to report independent expenditures to support Fulford. Coming up, cooking and drinking water at an elementary school in Benton is shut off after high levels of lead are found in the water. State toxicologists are investigating high lead levels in the water at Benton Elementary School. As Patty White reports, the school shut off water used for drinking and cooking after lead was found.
One test at Benton Elementary found lead levels more than 40 times the federal standard. The general manager of the Kennebec Water District, Jeff LaCase, says the source is likely within the school.
Most of the time, the solution to this, the mitigation, is to replace the problem areas, whether it's pipes or fixtures or both.
LaCase says the district's water is safe, but individual structures can have issues. The Kennebec Water District has been testing schools as a courtesy in the wake of the lead crisis in Flint, Michigan. LaCase says a recently formed statewide group is also encouraging water districts across the state to offer lead testing for schools. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And if you have unused prescription medication you want to unload, this weekend might be the time to do it. The Penobscot County Sheriff's Department is extending its annual drug take-back event to 2 days, starting tomorrow. Chief Deputy William Sheehan says unused prescription drugs in the house can be a hazard for kids and bait for burglars. But he says it's not okay to simply dump them.
We don't want people to flush them down their toilets because it does get into the water system and some of those meds aren't able to be filtered out.
The take back at the airport mall in Bangor will continue on Saturday. That's the day when most police departments around the state plan to hold drug take back events as well. And Maine's drought is spreading. More than 1.2 million Maine residents are now living in drought-affected areas, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. The new numbers out today show that nearly 70% of the state is now in a drought. The drought has been more severe in parts of southern Maine, but conditions there haven't worsened in the last few weeks. But National Weather Service hydrologist Tom Hawley says the continuing dry weather means the drought is getting worse in northern and eastern parts of the state.
We've seen an expansion over the last 2 or 3 weeks of drought areas in the state of Maine. Before, northern Maine wasn't even in the drought area, but now they're in an abnormally dry area right now.
Last year's mild winter and the dry summer have created Maine's worst drought in 15 years. Hawley says it will take several months of higher than normal precipitation to turn things around. And there is some rain on the way in the next few days. Here's meteorologist Paul Cousins with the forecast.
Northbound tropical moisture will slowly seep into Maine overnight, along with abnormal warmth, and will persist through Saturday. Fog and mist will slowly spill ashore this evening, reaching the northeastern corner of Maine by dawn. Isolated showers north, 42 to 55 north to south. Tomorrow, simply murky and mild with intervals of mist and fog. Only a few showers will drift by, 56 to 66 north to south. The heavy rain delivered by developing low pressure south of Maine will arrive tomorrow night and then wind down Saturday from south to north, the most prodigious amounts over the mountains and the eastern border. Clouds will actually break southwest during the afternoon and winds picking up late in the day. Quite balmy, 60s for all. Sunday and Monday, blustery and true to fall. Considerable cloudiness throughout a majority of Maine, the exception sunny slivers permitted along the coastal plain. Mountain flurries are likely. The gusty northwest winds will be difficult to ignore. 40s for most, low 50s along the immediate coast. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for Maine Public.
And that's the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, October 20th, 2016. Robert Holt composed our theme music. Thanks to our news leaders, Keith Shortall, Susan Sharon, and Andrew Catalina, and to A.J. Higgins, Steve Missler, Mal Leary, Patty White, Jennifer Mitchell, and Nora Flaherty for their contributions. We'd like to hear your thoughts on the podcast. You can rate and comment in iTunes, or you can email us at tdim@mainepublic.org. I'm Barbara Caridi. For all of us here at Maine Public, thanks for listening.